Hello, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Claire, and I'm hopefully going to share with you everything I know about cooking and everything I love about cooking. Now, I cook everything from the simple to the elaborate, so if elaborate dishes aren't your thing, there's something simple in the mix, and if you fancy something a bit more, then we'll cover all that as well over time and over the next few weeks and months. My kitchen is kind of my domain. It's kind of the place where I go, it's the place I like to be sociable, and it's absolutely full of kitchen gadgets. I get gadgets for Christmas. I get saucepans and things for Christmas. And I remember one year my mum bought me a set of saucepans and she said, I feel really guilty buying you saucepans for Christmas because, you know, it's not really a present, is it? And I said, but that's what I want. And she said, yeah, but that's kind of bad. And I said, well, it's not. That's what I want and that's what you've bought me. That would have been about 10 years ago. And I still have the same set of saucepans and there isn't a scratch on them. And I've had pasta makers and I've had KitchenAid and I had a hand mixer and I had a waffle maker. And most of those I've still got. Oh, the hand mixer died a death and I've since replaced it. And we'll go into that at some point. But I can understand, you know, it's a personal thing. My dad once bought my mum a deep fat fryer for Christmas and never lived it down. So it's personal. Now, I'm going to stop talking and I'm going to take you through to the kitchen and we're going to make a cottage pie. Now, cottage pie on a day like today, when it's windy and cold and miserable and raining, it's a perfect kind of dish to warm you up and it's something that can be made in advance and so it's great for that. So we'll go through to the kitchen and I'll show you how it's done. The difference obviously between cottage pie and shepherd's pie is that cottage pie is made of beef and shepherd's pie is made of lamb. With cottage pie, it's fairly straightforward. With shepherd's pie, if you're making with lamb mince, you need to really fry the mince first and then drain it on some kitchen paper because there's an awful lot of fat in lamb mince and it'll float to the top and then it makes it a little bit unpleasant. So I tend to pre-fry the mince, although I haven't made shepherd's pie for years. Cottage pie, there is a fairly regular thing. So what I'm going to do to start with, I've got an onion. Just going to top and tail that, so cut off the ends, take off the skin, and with the skin you have, there's like this, it feels almost like paper, so you take that off, and then if you cut a mark then you can pull off another layer, because then you've got all the skin and you're guaranteed to have all the skin. Then I'm just going to cut that into a couple of bits. You can chop your onion by hand if you're really thus inclined. I'm not, and I use a food processor, so I'm just going to pop those into the food processor bowl. And then to that I'm going to add a clove of garlic, just one clove. You don't have to add garlic, but garlic is a very, very good substitute for salt. And if you're trying to limit your salt intake, then that's a very good way of doing it to a large extent. I am what you might call a bit of a salt snob. So, but I've peeled this clove of garlic and I've thrown that in. And then what I've also got is a stick of celery. Celery I find is a bit tasteless really, but when you fry it, it smells really, really nice. So I'm just going to cut that into a few chunks. And then I also have a carrot. And I'm going to peel that. Now that I've done that, I'm going to very quickly just top and tail the carrot. Just the very ends you need to chop off. And I'm just going to cut that into chunks. I'm going to put that into the food processor as well. Right, so I'm just going to put the lid on the food processor to make sure it's on tight. Food processors tend to have like a locking mechanism. So if they're not locked, you can't put your hands in there and stuff like that and they won't work. So if they're locked, then they'll work properly. So I'm just going to whiz that up. It's all finely chopped. You don't want it liquefied, but you want it fine enough that it's not big chunks. Okay, so now I'm going to take a bit of sunflower oil. Now I know that sometimes we can use vegetable oil. Sometimes you can use olive oil. I tend not to buy vegetable oil, but I do buy sunflower oil. I've got a pan here, and I'm just going to quickly put the oil into there. It's kind of enough to cover the bottom of the pan. And I'm going to light that. Let that heat up for a minute. And take the food processor bowl. Now, the best way to check whether your oil is heated is to take a little bit of the veg, a little bit of onion or whatever. Just drop that in. If it begins to fry, if you listen very, very carefully, you can hear it starting to fry there. Then it's heated. So, if you take a spoon, a wooden spoon, scrape out all that onion and carrot and celery into the pan. And then while that just softens, you're going to soften that for a couple of minutes. I'm just going to put the kettle on. Kettle's boiling, the vegetables are soft now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a pack of mince and I'm going to put that into the pan. Now you need to break it up as you do, otherwise you end up with big chunks of mince that don't brown properly. But I'm going to add that gradually. Now I'm just going to brown that meat. You don't want it to be cooked, but you want it to all have been covered by the heat and mixed in with the vegetables. Right, now I'm going to take some tomato puree, about a tablespoon of tomato puree. Actually, I end up doing more than that because I give a good squirt out of the tube. And then I'm going to mix that in. And I'm going to let that kind of infuse for a bit. A lot of people think that when you do cooking with tomato purees, you just chuck the tomato puree in and you throw in all the other ingredients on top. But actually, tomato puree is pure tomato. So you need to give it time to spread into the rest of your dish. You need to give time for those flavours to be absorbed. Not for long, just about 2 or 3 minutes. But while I'm doing that, I'm just going to make some beef stock. Now, for beef stock, you need a stock cube. You can make your own beef stock, but to be honest, it's a bit of a fat. I make my own chicken stock, and I'll cover that in a later episode. But beef stock is a real pain. You have to roast bones and scoop out marrow and things like that, and it's not something I involve with. If you're particularly considerate about the amount of salt that you're taking in, you can buy fresh stock and it's got considerably less salt in. You can buy low fat stock cubes as well, and they've got about 25% less salt than your average stock cube. Right, so I've got a stock cube and I put that into a 250ml jug and I filled that with boiling water. Stir that up. Right, so tomato should be well infused into the mince now. You can tell because it's starting to release some of its own liquid. And that's what you want. You want all the flavours to be drawn out. And back on the topic of stock cubes, one stock cube contains a third of your daily salt amount. Now I do beat the salt drum quite a lot, because I personally keep a close eye, but I'm going to tip that into there. That's in nicely. Now if you end up with not enough liquid, you can add more fluid, liquid, water or stock. But I'm not quite done with the liquid yet. Right, so now that's boiling, I'm going to add a bottle of red wine. Actually, I'm not. I'm going to add about a glass, about 150 mils. But I buy them in these small one-serving bottles. So I can legitimately say, I'm going to add a bottle of wine now. Just pour that in. And if you don't drink red wine, you can buy the single kind of serving bottles. Right, so that's loads of liquid in there now. But that's okay, because that's going to cook down while I make the potatoes. Right, so I'm going to quickly season that. Bit of salt, bit of black pepper. Now I'm going to leave that to cook down. Right, now I'm going to get some potatoes. Now, the amount of potatoes depends very much on the size of dish you've got. I've got about five average size potatoes. Now, depending on the size of dish you have or the number of servings you're going to make, depends on how much potato you need. Now, I've used a 500 gram pack of mince, and that makes about four servings. Or I can use a big casserole dish or little ones. What you have to bear in mind is if you have too much potato, that doesn't matter so much. You can throw it out rather than put it on the dish. If you don't have enough, it'll melt into the mince and it won't taste very nice. So I'm just going to peel these. Right, so I've peeled my potatoes and now I'm just going to cut those into quarters, I think. You can dice them if you want to cook them particularly quickly. But because I've got meat cooking here, I don't want that to be too liquid still. So I'm going to cut these into quarters. Now that I've done that, I'm just going to fill this with water. Stir, there's still lots and lots of liquid in there. That's perfectly okay. Now what I'm going to do is I'm just going to wait for all that to cook. You need to cook the potatoes until they're soft, so you can put a knife straight through them. Okay. So, before I look at the potatoes, I'm going to look at the meat. Now, if you look at them very carefully, you can hear it's not bubbling now. It's kind of more cooking. That's because most of the fluid is now gone. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to mix that all together. Yeah. And I'm going to turn it off, because you don't want loads of fluid. You want it to be such that it will bubble when you cook it, so that it does get nice and hot. But you don't want it to be so much fluid that it soaks into the potato and ruins that. So, it's now more or less fluidless. And I'm going to tip that into my dish. And you can either, as I say, tip that into a single dish. Oh, I have some really nice little casserole dishes, and I can make those up and make individual portions, and you can freeze those beautifully before you have to cook them. So, meat on there. And it doesn't matter if it goes cold, because you're going to bake it in the oven anyway. Now I'm going to check on the potatoes, and they need just a little bit longer. Yeah, in the meantime, if anybody wants to engage on here, if you've got comments, if you've got questions to ask, if you want to tell me how fabulous my cooking is, if you've never tried it, but you know, you can taste it by proxy, really, can't you? Then please do so, and I'll give you a mention. I'm not going to call it a shout out, that's a bit pretentious, but I will give you a mention and we'll talk about, you know, anything and everything, because I am talking about how I'm cooking, but it's nice to kind of have engaging listeners. So do shout me, either on Messenger or elsewhere, and I can happily say your name and give you a shout and answer your question or engage or put across your comment or any of those things. or share what you're cooking. That would be really cool as well. If people want to talk about the things they're cooking, then I can tell them. Or if you've cooked one of my recipes, as time goes on, if you've cooked one of the things I've cooked, then let me know how it went. That would be really cool. Right, I think these potatoes are more or less done. Now the note of potato is it has to be such that the knife will go through. Actually, it probably needs about another 30 seconds. But the knife will go straight through it and you can't feel any resistance from the knife as it goes through. Otherwise it's not cooked enough, and even if you mash it, it won't be cooked enough and it kind of doesn't taste very nice, because you bite and then you end up with big chunks of potato or chunks of half-cooked potato, which isn't particularly pleasant. Whereas most veg, like carrots, you can sort of partially cook and they work because they're not, you can eat them raw anyway. But potatoes, no, they have to be fully cooked, otherwise it just doesn't work. I think they should be done by now. Yeah, they're pretty much done. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to lift this pan off of the, hopefully it's not hot on both sides. No, it's not. Will it eat? So they're nicely drained. Now I'm going to put them back in the saucepan. And then I'm going to mash them. Now, there are numerous ways you can mash potato. So you can put it all into a bowl or a pan and put your milk and potato in and either use a hand mixer. It has to be the one with two beaters. Or if you have a stand mixer, you can put everything in the stand mixer bowl and then you set the mixer going on about speed 2. And that will mix it up for you and mash it. And I don't quite know how it does it, but it does. Yeah, I used to have an expensive mixer. It was about, I can't remember even how much it was because I was given it as a present. It broke. I think I melted the cable on the hob once where I was trying to do mix something in a pan. Although I had those, when you want things like just to whip up a bit of cream, it's a real amount of washing up and everything to get out the stand mixer and go over to the bowl and switch it on and all that kind of thing. I will use it though. In one of my other recipes, but I needed a little hand mixer, and because I don't use it very often, I bought a cheap one, and I think it was £8, and I remember saying, well, it doesn't really matter, you know, if I buy one of those every year for the next 5 years, I'll have paid for the other mixer that broke, and I've still got it. I thought I would end up, you know, it would end up breaking after about 3 months, but it didn't. I have a ricer. Now what I have here, you can buy two types of ricer. You can buy a handheld one. It looks a bit like a little barrel, and it looks like a barrel made of like mesh. That's the only way I can describe it. If you've ever seen a shredder and the mesh that's kind of on the sides of the shredder, that's a bit like how a ricer looks, except it's round and it has a handle on the top. And you put the potatoes inside and then you turn the handle, and what it does is it pushes the potato out through that mesh on the sides. It's a real faff to do it because you have to do it all by hand. But what I have a hand blender. It's a very decent hand blender. It has a blending attachment, it has a ricer attachment, and it has a food processing attachment. And if I'm allowed to mention the name, it's a Braun MultiQuick. And I bought it because I like making soups. I don't own a jug blender for that reason as well. And I bought this, and it came with a ricing attachment purely as coincidence. And I thought, no, I don't expect to use that. And I did, and I haven't looked back. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to add anything to my potatoes yet, but I've put the ricer on top. And then what I'm going to do is just pop that into the pan. Now, the one thing with the ricer is that once it's riced the potatoes, it pushes them all out through the top. So, what you need to do is make sure that the potatoes go back into the pan. So take a spoon and just quickly flick the potato off of the top of the ricer. And you can feel it with your spoon. There we go. And then if you just go like that, it takes the majority off the blade. I'm just going to do the rest. An adjustable blender as well, this. Right, so that's that done. It's nice and smooth now. But sometimes
you can end up with a situation where it's not necessarily as smooth as you'd like. And if you're a bit concerned about that, you can use a potato masher when you put in the milk and the butter. What I'm going to take is a good knob of butter, a decent chunk, really, of butter. And I'm going to put that in. And what I'm also going to put in is a splash of milk. You need only a splash of milk. If you put too much in, your potato will be watery and then it's horrible. Splash of milk, a little bit of seasoning. Not loads, but it's potato, and potato is a bit boring. You can't not have seasoning in potato, really. Salt, pepper. And now I'm going to take a spoon and I'm going to mix this all together, because at the moment the milk is just sat in the butter. It's just sat in one part of the potato. So I'm going to quickly mix all of that in. And what should happen is the hot potato will melt the butter. And once that's done, it will mix it nicely. I'm going to spoon it into my bowl with the meat. So what I'm going to do is spoon it over the top. Right, so once you've done that, you need to flatten out the potato on top, because otherwise you end up with big mounds in one place. So if you can do that either by using the back of the spoon and just kind of draw it across, or you can use a spatula or a palette knife. I'm just using the back of the spoon that I've used. Make sure you come all the way to the edges, because you don't want meat sticking out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this bowl and I'm going to put it in the oven. And I'm going to cook that for around half an hour. And when you get it out, it needs to be crispy almost on top, but not burnt. And it needs to be sizzling. Right, so the cottage pie has been in the oven now for about 40 minutes, and it should be nice and crispy on top. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to put some water on. I actually pre-boiled the kettle, because you can boil it on the hob, but it takes a little bit of time. So I've pre-boiled the kettle, then I'm going to put it in a pan, and then I've just put the pan on the hob, and that's boiling. Because you want some peas to go with your cottage pie. But while that's cooking, I'm just going to get this out. If you listen carefully, you can hear it sizzling. So you know that's nice and cooked. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put some peas in. Frozen peas, just a couple of handfuls. And I'm going to cook those until they're boiling. And now what I'm going to do is I've put some plates in the oven so that they can warm up. Only for about 2 minutes, because the oven's hot, so you don't want them to be so hot you can't touch them. And then, once the peas are done, I'm going to drain them. And then I'm going to serve this in the meantime. And while I do that, we'll just have a quick recap.
To make cottage pie, peel and finely chop one onion and one clove of garlic. Preheat a saucepan and add 1 tablespoon of oil, preferably vegetable or sunflower oil. Add the onion and garlic and fry until soft. Next, add 500 grams of lean beef mince and brown on all sides. Add 1 tablespoon of tomato puree and allow to settle for around 2 minutes. Next, add 250 milliliters of hot beef stock and 150 milliliters of red wine. Season and allow to simmer until most of the fluid has reduced. For the potatoes, peel and quarter the potatoes and place into a pan of cold water. Bring to the boil and allow to cook until the potatoes are cooked through, when a knife passes through the potato without resistance. Drain the potatoes and put back into the pan. Mash with either a potato masher or a ricer. If you're using a masher, Add one large knob of butter and a splash of milk before mashing. If using a ricer, rice the potatoes and then add the milk and the butter and stir until well combined. Remove the meat from the heat and place in a large casserole dish. Spoon the potatoes over the top and spread out evenly. Cook for approximately 45 minutes in a preheated oven of gas mark 6 or 190 degrees Celsius. Serve with carrots and peas.